You're listening to Red Eye on Vancouver Cooperative Radio, CFRO, at 102.7 FM.
In mid-January, Vancouver City Council met to discuss increasing height and density on a number of sites in Chinatown and in the downtown east side. After almost 80 people registered to speak at the meeting, Vision Vancouver councillors voted to table the discussion and deal with the area up for rezoning in two different processes. A decision on sites in the downtown east side has been deferred until the end of this year. But rezoning of a large area of Chinatown will go to public hearing this coming Thursday, March the 17th. Ivan Drury is a researcher and organizer with the Carnegie Community Action Project. He is also a board member on the Downtown Eastside Neighborhood Council. He's been knocking on doors in Chinatown and Strathcona, speaking with local residents, and he's joined me in the studio this morning to tell us what he's been hearing from them. Hello, Ivan.
Hello, how are you?
Yeah, I'm great. What areas of Chinatown are going to be affected by the rezoning?
Well, the primary impact of this rezoning will be on Chinatown South. Chinatown is one of eight sub-districts of the downtown east side. As you said, the rest of the eight are being put through a local area planning process, which is still being determined what exactly that means. But the purpose of that process will be to figure out how to proceed with development, whether in market or non-market, in a way that does not negatively impact the low-income community in the downtown east side. So with that, council recognizes that market development has a negative effect on low-income people who are vulnerable to these forces. Chinatown itself is then divided into two pieces. So these are all planner maps, and it gets exceedingly complicated. But the Chinatown South is the area that is slated for height increases of up to 150 feet. So at about 10 feet a story, it's about 15-story towers, is what the Main Street section of Chinatown South is slated for going forward to the public hearing next Thursday. And the rest of Chinatown South, which is everything except the Main Street area, so between Gore and the International Village, is slated for increases of up to 12 stories.
So if we try and imagine that, because you and I were looking at a map of that earlier, and I've spent a lot of time in this area of time, so it's really the strip that's Chinatown North is what you'd see if you were along Pender Street and walked from Gore down to International Village.
That's right. Basically, from Gore down to the Chinatown Gate. Just before International Village. That area is the historic area. So that area is more protected as an area where there are heritage buildings. In Vancouver, it seems that heritage buildings receive more concern and consideration for their protection than people do. And along Pender Street, there are pains to ensure that the heritage buildings won't be knocked down. There was a plan a year ago to put in towers in the heritage area along Pender Street, right beside Sun Yat-sen Gardens. And many of the people who are supporting these towers came out in force against those ones because they were concerned about being able to see towers from the Sun Yat-sen Gardens and things like that. So these, along Pender Street, there are height increases slated that they've from 60 to 75 and 75 to 90 feet. But largely those are in order to play a kind of shell game with potential heights and not for actually extending the heights of buildings.
Well, I want to get into that in a second because it's pretty interesting. But then the other area that we're talking about is sort of south of that, south of Sun Yat-sen Gardens, mm-hmm. and that sort of historic strip, and runs primarily along Main Street, then over to the Union Bike Route, and mm-hmm. then back down. Is it to Columbia? Is that the other boundary on there?
Yeah, Columbia on the west and Gore on the east.
Yeah. Okay, so a big sort of like a big kind of square in there.
Yeah, and the really frightening thing about it. Okay, so there's so it's up to 15 stories along Main is what the council can raise it by policy, and by policy in the rest of Chinatown South would be to 12 stories. So there are five towers that are actually standing as proposals, alongside this generalized height increase, and these five towers are right along the Main Street corridor. So there's already one condo project there, the Ginger project, and we've seen the effects of it immediately in a change on the streetscape with the Brixton Cafe and the London Pub opening up on that block. And down some of the side streets, there's boutique towel shops that are opening right alongside old barber shops that are actually closing down. So this is the process of gentrification that we're seeing from two condos that have opened within the existing height restrictions, and with five more towers at 15 stories apiece. The market forces of condo owners and yuppies moving into the area will change the services for poor folks dramatically.
Well, let's talk about what the consequences in that south area might be for the kind of businesses that we see there, and the way real estate is enacted down there.
There's two main categories for this. There's the residence component in housing, and there are the businesses. And these things can't be separated out from each other because the businesses are part of what we refer to as the assets of the low-income community. Part of what makes living in the downtown east side a positive community experience for low-income people is that there are stores that poor people can afford to shop in, whether for groceries and for other kind of basics of life, and places that people can kind of gather, these social spaces that are really meeting points, places like Kent's Kitchen in Chinatown, which is packed, for all of its opening hours, because it's one of the only places in the city you can get a $5 lunch that is too big to finish. And so things like that are just really bare bones kind of stuff. All of these areas, here's the problem, is that in all of these areas, the way property taxes are calculated is by the highest and best use potential. So as the heights increases go up, even if building owners and property owners don't use that potential extra height, they'll be taxed as though they have, and they'll be taxed against the property values in the area. So even in advance of property values actually increasing, the property taxes will increase, and it'll be these small shop owners that'll swallow these tax increases with their leases. So this will mean that the storefronts that we see empty now, we're afraid that these storefronts that more and more shops will empty out because of these tax increases and because of rent increases that will accompany them.
Who supports the rezoning of Chinatown?
There is a coalition of people who support the rezoning of Chinatown, and it's driven by developers and business organizations. The Chinatown Business Improvement Association, the Chinatown Merchants Association are the most vocal in organizing, or the most kind of pushers in organizing this. There's also the Chinatown Revitalization Committee. But in this too, and this is where it becomes complicated, is that there are the Chinatown Heritage Associations and the Benevolent Associations and Clan Associations also support the rezoning, because they stand to gain hypothetical zoning that they can sell off, or heights and density that they can sell off in Chinatown North. So wrapped up in this process is this complicated planner stuff that they can sell off hypothetical height and density to Chinatown South. That means that they can use money to rebuild their heritage buildings, or to renovate their heritage buildings, and money that can go into their benevolent societies in Chinatown North. So there is and they believe that this is the only way that they can get this improvement.
So it's kind of it's sort of a trade. So if I have a two-story historic building on Pender Street, I could trade that off and get some money from somebody who wants to build a higher tower in South. Is that kind of a correct?
That's right. That's kind of, and so in this is actually another policy shift in the Historic Area Heights Review package that's going forward on the 17th Council. There's also something that allows Council to land density in Chinatown in the historic area. So there is a shift that's happening to allow this density transfer to go on, so that these heritage organizations can capture money to rebuild their buildings. But the real problem with this is that when they publicly explain it, they talk about this density going towards building social housing and building affordable housing for seniors. And there's implications in this. They believe that when these towers go in, that the developers will be forced to put money towards building social housing and affordable housing, because that would be the community benefits that normally are forced to come from this. from these kinds of market developments. But because they're allowed to land density, that density will likely be the community benefits rather than being forced to build social housing. It's strange, but council considers the ability to land density there in the public good and as a substitute for other public goods that they would normally force developers to do something about, like build some sort, put money towards social housing or build social housing or build a park or community centers, things like that.
Now, I said earlier that you've been going door-to-door talking to local residents. Who lives in Chinatown now, in these areas of Chinatown and the adjacent areas?
So this is where the real issue is. So all of the details of zoning is one thing, but what's important is to understand that it has impact on real people's lives. There are about 1,000 low-income people who live in Chinatown. About 64% of the population of Chinatown, as it is low-income. And there are 787 registered low-income units of housing in Chinatown. There's more than that that are not registered because there are apartment blocks where families and seniors live, like the Fan Tower and the East Hotel, that are not recognized as low-income housing because they're not SROs, they're apartments. But they are low-income housing and low-income people live there. All of these places, these marketplaces especially, are all put in danger by this plan. The people who live in them, it's a very racially, culturally, nationally mixed group of people. There are buildings that are distinctly Chinese seniors. Some of the hotels, like the Mei Hua Hotel, is disproportionately Chinese senior women, which is odd for a hotel. And these places, like that, captures the complexity of Chinatown and the living situation there. Because the Mei Hua Hotel is a very rundown building that doesn't have an elevator, where it is in great need of repairs. Each of the units is just a 10 by 10 room with no plumbing. People who live in the rooms walk down the hall to use the shared bathrooms and the shared kitchen. And it's a bit jarring to see 90-year-old women walk up three flights of stairs to live in these tiny rooms. But you know, these women, many of them don't want to leave because also there are community rooms there where people gather and play mahjong and people sit and smoke and hang out. It's the most social building I've ever been in, most social hotel building I've ever been in, where people are always sitting together and eating and there's children running around along with seniors. So that community actually has to be recognized as a very precious thing that we have to protect and not disturb. Those seniors talk about the distinct needs of Chinatown. So their lives there are not just about housing and being able to get groceries downstairs. The access to those spaces and being able to speak to people in Cantonese and Mandarin means that seniors have a degree of independence. They have a practice of language rights and of cultural and community association that they wouldn't have anywhere else in the city. So they are more independent in Chinatown than they could be anywhere else in Vancouver. And that is about the class dynamics of Chinatown and the affordability of their housing and food resources, as well as the sense of, as well as the tight community that they have for a number of historical reasons. And I believe all those things are what this tower plan actually most immediately jeopardizes.
What would be the best outcome for the public hearing on Thursday?
The best outcome would be to do what we've been asking the Chinatown business organizations to do, which is to wait on this plan. If we think about it, there being two options, which we can simplify it to two options. One is to push ahead with the towers in Chinatown, which City Council is trying to do. And the other is to put it off and let Chinatown be part of the local area planning process, which Council ordered for the rest of the Downtown East Side. So Council and the rest of the Downtown East Side said, no towers until we figure out how to make them not hurt poor people. But in Chinatown, they're pushing ahead regardless of there never having been a social impact study done or any kind of assessment on economic, social, or environmental effects of these towers. So we want them to wait, let Chinatown be part of the local area plan and figure out something that's going to work for everybody, something to protect the locally serving businesses and to enrich them and have to fill out some of these storefronts and fight the speculators who are keeping them empty, believing that the towers coming in will up rents and bring in more upper scale restaurants and boutiques. And so if we wait, we think that we can gain a lot more than we can by pushing ahead. If they push ahead and foist the towers upon Chinatown South, we don't know, in the best case, we don't know what the impact is going to be on the low-income community. We believe that the gentrification effects will be disastrous. But if we wait, those people lose nothing by waiting. They lose nothing but another year of time. So just on the simple question of calculating risk, it makes sense to wait and involve the local community in the process of planning Chinatown, which is something that has never been done. No one has spoken to these residents before we're going to these buildings and meeting with them. No one has talked to them about the Chinatown plan and what they want to see. And most of them just believe, many of the seniors I've met with just believe that these towers are for social housing and for housing for seniors. And they believe that the government would not put in towers that are going to make things more expensive without raising their pension rates and social insurance checks, which is simply not true.
What would it take, Ivan, do you think, to actually, because you've been going around talking to these people and you've said that like really this is the sort of first time it happened. What would it take to actually have those the voices of the people who actually live there be heard and for their concerns to be taken into account in this process?
This is a question of what consultation really means. So City Council says that there is unanimous support for the towers in Chinatown, and the BIA and the Merchants Association say that they have done consultations, that they've had 28 meetings with in Chinatown about this over 10 years. But they have placed ad that what for each of them, what consultation means is placing an ad in a newspaper and then having a meeting somewhere and expecting people to come. That works really well for middle-class people. It works really well for people who time is something that can be organized and is understandable. It doesn't work well for marginalized people and especially for low-income people who you have to go to and actively involve in the process of working these programs out. So it would take that, and that's something that we've been doing and building up the relationships that have been lacking for a long time, and it's something we need to continue to do.
How can people register to speak?
They can contact Tina Hildebrandt at the city. She's the city clerk, and you can email her at tina.hildebrandt@vancouver.ca or call 604-873-7268. 873-7268. And we're going to have a rally or a meeting outside of City Council at 6:30 on Thursday, the 17th of March, just before the public hearing begins.
Okay, great. I've been speaking with Ivan Drury. He's a researcher and organizer with the Carnegie Community Action Project. He's also a board member of the Downtown Eastside Neighborhood Council. And the public hearing on the zoning changes will be held this coming Thursday, March 17th at 7:30 p.m. in the council chamber. That's on the third floor of City Hall, which is at 453 West 12th at Cambie.